Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the HIV podcast. Each week we focus on a person, historical event or pop culture moment linked to HIV and explore the story of what actually happened. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Jess, and between us we've been working in the field of HIV for 40 years. Our aim is to get as many people as possible HIV educated.
Welcome to the HIV podcast.
Is that a question or a statement?
I wasn't sure if I was supposed to go first. We both opened our mouths. It was a lovely sight.
Who knows?
Everyone is welcome, yes.
I am enjoying the notice board that continues promote it on Sarah McAdam's rubbish CCTV wire.
Rubbish.
So what have we got today, Sarah?
No, what is it? Hashtag CCTV wire.
No, but so someone had commented underneath, Will had commented saying, promote it on the hashtag CCTV wire because Sarah won't know this because I do our social media. So every time we post about the podcast, if we use certain hashtags, oh, we just get bombarded with comments being like, promote it on this thing, promote it on this, message us on here. So you just get a sea of them. So I'm sure Will has seen the same. So that's what it reminded me of. I think that's what he was saying. Promote it on hashtag CCTV wire.
I think it should just be, it should have its own hashtag.
Well, it has. Promote it on the crappy CCTV wire.
Not crappy, though. There's no crappy in there. Just CCTV wire.
She says it's not crappy. She's tied a tote bag to a CCTV wire that's hanging behind her head. So to keep everyone in the loop. She's Stephen Hart, who we've talked about before. Lovely, lovely person. Amazing YouTube channel. Go and check it out. And you'll know where it is, this YouTube channel, because I'll send a clip of it. I'll put up a photo. Look. Sarah's tied one of the tote bags that Stephen sent us to her CCTV.
Yes. It's like an advertising, Jess. I know what I'm doing.
And it shows, Sarah. I think all of... How many years were you in advertising?
6.
Well, every one of those 6 years is showing right here, right now, isn't it?
It is.
We're like, what can I do this week? I won't waste all the ink in my entire printer on printing a heart, which, by the way, I can't lie to you. Last week when I saw that you'd written I Heart the Lost Boys, the amount of coloured ink in the heart that Sarah printed, I nearly had a heart attack.
I did it at work, Jess. Didn't use my printer.
Oh, you did it on the big one.
I did it in our work at the office.
Oh, I see. Shh, don't tell Sean.
No, don't tell Sean that.
Nobody tell Sean, okay? Keep it quiet, everyone.
That's why this week... I thought I'm not using mine. Do you know how much cartridges cost?
That's why I thought that. Expensive. That's why I thought that. It was this massive red block heart. And I was like, well, someone's living the life of Riley over at Sarah's house, printing whatever I like.
It was done at work. Next week, I might actually just have a live person standing behind me. They can promote their own stuff.
I do quite like the idea of having pictures of people up there.
Okay,
right, well. Next week, do you know who we're going to put up there? You ready for this? Let's have a picture of Sean. I want a picture of Bernie as well. That's my mother.
I just not have Sean here? Just crouch down.
In your bedroom. You'd like to invite Sean into your bedroom.
I'd love
lovely and very professional, but I would love to know how he would handle that request.
And every time he went to speak, you were like, shh.
Yeah. This is talking. The no talking corner.
You'd have to make him turn around and face the wall if he tried to chat too much. No, we're recording just now.
Yeah. And well, he could use that time to work out how to terminate my contract.
Yeah. Well, I just thought if we had his picture up there, then every time we talk about him, you can just point to him so people know what he looks like. Like,
yes.
Why do I think people can see us? This is a podcast that people listen to. What am I talking about?
I don't know. You've gone into the realms of television.
Haven't I? It's because I look at you when we record this. But anyway, I digress. I am going to talk about Bernie today. Bonjour, Bernalicious. My mother's been on a mission. She's top recruiter of the week, by the way, of new listeners.
Really?
Yes. So I'm going to give a shout out now. You gave one the other week to poor Adam, who then, you know, it descended into vagina chat. Sorry about that, Adam, again. This week, I'm going to say hello to the sopranos of the Printers Playhouse Choir. My mum's in a lovely choir and she has got her friends, the sopranos, to listen as well.
Really?
Yeah. So go, Bernice. Right. Now work on the tenors, the altos, everyone else. She needs to start working her way around that whole choir.
Wow. But yeah. All the sopranos know a lot more about your vagina now. So it's a good starting point.
Don't they? That's probably quite weird for my mum. They probably know more about my mum as well and how I've threatened to fight her for this job. And they're probably like, not sure this is the podcast for us, everyone.
It doesn't get any better, but, you know, once you're sucked in, you can't get out.
So speaking about my mother and Eastbourne, do you remember last week we had some sticky willy chat? Yeah, right. Because I was going to email the school about the soup and chips thing. And I thought, how do I even start an email that says, hi, I used to go to your school and you serve soup and chips? So I thought, you know what? I'll put it out on my own personal Instagram story. And I said, right, anyone from Ratton, please, I'm doing this podcast. We're going to chat about it next week. If you remember soup and chips, sticky willies, like caramel slices, please get in touch with me. Only one person did, Sarah. Well, actually, that's not true. Two people. One person said, I don't remember any of that. And I again went, has my life been a dream? But someone did come through to me. It's actually a really good account called Women Who Can. And she messaged me saying sticky willies are universal.
Had this conversation with my husband. Doesn't know what sticky willies are either.
Okay,
not in,
well.
I was going to say not in that context, but that's okay, did that out. So I don't want to mention any more food items to you because it's just awkward when you're like, oh yeah, it's known as this. And I'm like, not. So I can imagine, Jess, would you like to share my focaccia this lunchtime? Oh no, in Eastbourne, we call that furry vagina.
I love how middle class you are. Jess, would you like to share my focaccia? I've got some olives and bread for dipping.
That's what we do every lunchtime
at
the centre.
Who takes that for lunch? Who has focaccia in their packed lunch? Right, well, I can't wait to see your lunch tomorrow when we're in the office together.
Full-sized hamper, packed full of goodies.
Packed full of antipasti and all the regular things that you'd have for lunch.
Yes, like. A smorgasbord of delicatessen items.
I'm more of a crisp sandwich kind of girl for lunch.
What do you call them in Eastbourne?
Just a crisp sandwich. Do you know Ben's never, that's my husband, he's never had a crisp sandwich. And I honestly have tried with all my might to get him to try one. And he won't, because the more I ask him to, the more he doesn't want to. And now it's like a battle of wills. I can't believe it. Why wouldn't you want crisps in a sandwich? I actually wouldn't eat a sandwich without crisps in it.
What, just crisps or crisps with a filling?
So you have a filling and then you put the crisps in it?
Yeah, no, I'm with him.
Are you joking?
I don't think I've ever put crisps in a sandwich.
Why? What are you doing? How are you eating sandwiches?
Just in a normal way, like normal people do. Because sandwiches are quite soft, aren't they? Why would you put something sharp?
Because I want the crunch. I have to have the crunch. In all my foods, there has to be crunch.
Okay. All right, let's move on.
Moving on. Anyway, last thing I've got, which you're probably like, please, no more, Jess. This has already gone on long enough. But this is HIV related. I don't know if you're watching the programme I Kissed a Boy on BBC Three.
No.
Okay, well, I am. And it's really, really good. So go and watch it. But there's a guy in there called Ollie. And in the very first episode, he showed everyone a red ribbon, like obviously an HIV red ribbon, that he got from his very first Manchester Pride. And he's kept it and he wore it on the first night. And he wore it like, and he posted on his Instagram to say, you know, to spark a conversation, to make sure people weren't forgotten. I just love that. So thank you so much. And he also gave us a follow on Instagram.
Oh,
thank you, Ollie.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah, exactly. But do go and watch the show. It is really good.
Well, I will do now.
Yeah, that's it. That's all I've got.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much.
So what are we doing? Because I know we've changed topic a few times.
Oh, yes. No, we couldn't decide, could we?
No. Too much good stuff.
Yeah, and it's normally so seamless. But, well, I think we have settled now on who we're going to do. So we are going to look at a Hollywood actress this week who is a great supporter of our community. Sounds like I'm reading this. I am. It's because I've been so confused this morning about which one we're actually doing. So, yes, a Hollywood actress, huge supporter of the HIV community, as in the worldwide HIV community, not our podcast community.
Why doesn't she support the podcast, Sarah? Why doesn't she like us?
So you're assuming that our podcast has reached Hollywood. Wow.
Well, it's reached 167 countries. I was going to say Hollywood must be one of them. Hollywood's not a country, is it?
No. Anyway, her name is Sharon Stone.
Interesting, interesting. I've got nothing to add because I have no idea how Sharon Stone relates to the HIV community. So that's why you're here to tell us.
Indeed it is. So she starred in lots of films, right? I've actually watched one or two of them.
But what is, when you think of Sharon Stone, what comes to mind instantly?
Basic Instinct.
Yeah, it's that scene, isn't it? That's instantly what I think of. It's the scene in the chair with the legs.
Yes, and the, oh, I was going to say bunny boiling. That's not.
Oh, Sarah, that's Fatal Attraction. That's Glenn Close, isn't it? Sharon Stone's not in Fatal Attraction. Oh, no.
Yes,
oh,
I made a note here with the bunny boiling and the leg crossing.
No, so the leg crossing
is,
yes,
definitely her. I have watched this film as well. It's amazing. Unbelievable.
The bunny boiling is just a completely separate thing.
Yes, you're right. Oh, gosh, edit all of that out. We're not doing her justice at all. But I've never said that I'm a film buff.
Never said you were her biggest fan, did you?
No, I didn't. So she was in.
She yes. Won't be now, though. She definitely won't be now. No.
No. But it's, yeah, what can I do? So she, yes, she was in Basic Instinct. She was in Total Recall.
Oh, I don't know. I've not seen that.
And yes, as we said, Basic Instinct, which was released in 1992. It is an iconic film.
Oh, massively.
And it led to, well, obviously for her, it led to lots of other film offers and iconic films that she appeared in, and award nominations and fame. And that made her a true Hollywood star.
Yeah, she is a real icon.
But she's also dedicated her time to raising awareness about HIV, and she claims that her involvement led to a lull in her acting career as the acting roles dried up. And that is what we're going to look at, the charity work that she did and whether it did affect her paid work.
So she's saying, like, being associated with HIV meant that people didn't want to work with her. Is that what she's essentially saying?
Yeah, saying that, yeah, I didn't get any film offers was because I was publicly supporting HIV.
So are we going to find out if that's true or if she just fell out of favour? Because, I mean, that must happen, mustn't it? That just maybe...
Yes. Yes, so that's exactly what we're going to do. And as people will know, when we've delved into things before, we'll probably come up with no conclusion, but, you know, we're trying.
Just, it's just about the journey, Sarah. It's not the destination, is it? Come on.
No.
Be positive. Be optimistic.
Well, let's start with her work with HIV. So she worked with the Foundation for AIDS Research. What is their acronym?
Foundation for AIDS. The FAR?
AMFAR.
AMFAR? What? Where's the M from?
I think it must be the American Foundation for AIDS Research.
That's ridiculous. You can't just start adding in other letters from the words. Like that's... AMFAR?
In 1995, she was asked to stand in for the former chairwoman, Dame Elizabeth Taylor, at the organisation's annual fundraising event in Cannes in France. That is something we need to aim for, a fundraiser somewhere in the Mediterranean. So she became AMFAR's chairwoman for the next 3 years, and she openly admits she had big shoes to fill, and she did initially wonder whether she could actually do it. Imagine being that iconic film star and still wondering if you are going to be able to fill someone else's shoes. Mind you, those shoes were Elizabeth Taylor's. They were quite big. Yeah,
yeah, and enough. Like in our Elizabeth Taylor episode, she did so much more than I ever imagined. So I, fair play, Sharon Stone, I think I'd be quite worried following on from Elizabeth Taylor.
Yeah, I would be too. Anyway, she needn't have worried about being Elizabeth Taylor's replacement because she was amazing. However, she did discuss her concerns with her publicist, Cindy Berger. And Cindy had said to her, I just don't think that you should be doing this. So Sharon gave an interview to the Evening Standard. And she says she remembers Cindy saying, if you do this, it's going to destroy your career.
What? But it didn't. That's really interesting because I'd like to know why she felt that way? Because did it, was it that it ruined Elizabeth Taylor's career? I don't think it did.
No, I don't think it did either. But I think this is a time when HIV and AIDS aren't really, not that openly kind of discussed, if they're discussed in quite a negative context. Mm. And she's saying, as Sharon says in the interview, she said, at the time you weren't allowed to talk about AIDS. You know, people just didn't really discuss it. And to be fair to Cindy, the publicist, Sharon said to her, look, I know what you're thinking, but I'm going to do it anyway. And you're going to kill me. And the publicist says, well, if you don't do it, I'm going to kill you. So she's kind of redeemed herself a bit by initially saying, you thought this through kind of properly, I think this might damage your career. And then going, but actually, doesn't matter either way, because you're going to do it. So just do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She already knows that this is really important to her. Oh, God, yeah. What a decision to have to make, though.
You know, Sharon was saying, so she did endure some hate over her activism over the years that she was representing AMFAR. And she said, I had no idea of the resistance, the cruelty, the hate and oppression that we would face. She says she stayed for 25 years. That is a big old commitment, isn't it?
Isn't it? And why don't I just feel like, why didn't I know this before? If she's, do you know what I mean? It's a shame. I mean, I'm sure it's probably much more widely known in America.
So she said, yes, I stayed for 25 years until we had AIDS remedies being advertised on TV like we have aspirin. I don't know what remedies those were.
I think that's a language thing, right? I think, do they mean medication? I think in America, are they saying remedies are medication? Whereas here, if we said a remedy, it would mean more sort of holistic, herbal. It would be that kind of thing, wouldn't it?
Oh, do they advertise HIV medication on TV? Because you have to buy it, don't you?
But they advertise tons of medication on TV, don't they, in America?
I don't know.
It's like totally different to here.
Never been to America.
Have you? No, I haven't either.
Well, don't worry, someone will pick up on this.
Maybe they'll fly us to the country of Hollywood.
Anyway, so she goes on to say in this article, it did destroy my career. I didn't work for 8 years.
Do we know why she didn't work, or was she just busy doing this? Or was it really a thing where directors were saying, absolutely not, because you're associated with this charity and you're associated with HIV? Do we know?
Well, what?
The answer's no, we don't know.
Well, I'm not sure that it did destroy her career. So if we look at Wikipedia, I know you shouldn't rely on that as a substantial source, but her Wikipedia page mentions nothing at all about her HIV work. So it probably isn't surprising that the Wikipedia page puts her lack of work down to something else. There's nothing on there at all. And you think, she's done a lot for HIV. Why have they not mentioned any of it?
Yeah.
It's all a bit confusing. I can't really make the dates add up, if I'm honest. So she joined AMFAR in 1995, started promoting their work and her support of those with HIV. And during that time, up until the year 2000, she was still starring in films. Now, I know films can take a long time to get through production, but surely they don't take 5 years.
Yeah.
In 2000, her career starts to falter, and then she falls ill in 2001. So between 1995 and 2000, she starred in 3 films. Now, you're more of a film buff than me, so tell me if you've heard of them. Okay. One was called Diabolique. Diabolique?
I haven't heard of that.
Have you heard of Last Dance?
In what? Who else is in it? I feel like, is Antonio Banderas in it?
Oh, I don't know.
Last Dance. Let's look it up. Let me see. No, I have not heard of this.
And then the other one was called Sphere.
I've heard of Sphere, yeah.
Oh, gosh, have you?
Yeah, I haven't seen it, but I've heard of that.
Okay. She was also one of the voices in Ants, which I have watched with the kids. They liked it, but I mean, it's not Toy Story, is it? And she was nominated for a Golden Globe for her appearance in a drama called The Mighty. And then 2 more films, Gloria and The Muse.
I haven't heard of those either.
No. And the reviews for those films are, I don't think, well, I love the word tepid. Let's say tepid at best. You know, they weren't kind of raving about her performance or the film itself.
Okay, so are we saying that naturally her career, in theory, that's what Wikipedia is saying, that it was sort of past its peak, perhaps?
Yeah, so she's still got work, but the films aren't bringing in the box office revenue. And then there was some controversy. So the president of the Golden Globe Awards ordered all 82 of its members to return luxury watches that had been gifted to them by either Sharon Stone or October Films. October Films, I think, made The Muse,
right,
the film we're on about here, because they were considered promotions for a nomination for Sharon's performance in the film. So she got nominated for Best Actress, but it's unclear whether her nomination was after the watch incident, in which case the watches might have been a thank you gift, or whether the watches were sent prior, in which case they could have been considered as encouragement to shortlist her.
Oh, wow. But that's never been, no one's got to the bottom of that.
No, but there was that controversy. So she's getting a little bit of bad press. Maybe we should send out luxury gifts to people.
We don't have anything luxury to send out. You're going to give away a gift. Sorry, Sarah just pointed at the tote bag behind her there. So you're suggesting you give away a gift that was given to you. Is that what you're saying? No, exactly.
Well, we are a charity, but I'm not going to. I'm going to keep it. I think there must be something luxury that we have. We can't just be basic.
We are basic. Every time we're like, oh, what can we give someone to be nice? We just rummage through all the cupboards. Just like, it's awful. We are. We're a charity. We're a small, tiny charity. We just don't have the funds.
No, but maybe this is the way forward. I don't know who we'd bribe. Podcast awards.
I don't know who would bribe, but if we were going to, I don't think you should talk about it on the podcast. I feel like the jig is up.
Blown our chances of ever
receiving
any kind of accolade. Okay.
Oh, we did enter, by the way, the British Podcast Award again. So I'd just like to say, if by some tiny, minuscule chance we did, you know, get shortlisted, we haven't bribed anyone. No. Just wanted to point that out.
Oh, no. Imagine if we did and everyone would be like, oh, do you remember that episode where Sarah said, what luxury gifts can we send out to people?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, that's awkward. Right, edit all this out.
Yeah.
Okay, back to Wikipedia. So they said in 2000, there was a hiatus and she appeared in some TV films, one of which a critic said was a toxic piece of whimsy that ranks among the worst films of the year. Bit harsh.
What was it? Because that sounds like the kind of thing that's right up my street.
Oh, I don't know.
I call it on a Sunday. I won't swear, but it rhymes with bit and it begins with S. So it's like Bit Film Sunday.
Oh.
Yeah.
And what did you watch yesterday?
You find a rubber. Oh, yesterday actually wasn't that film Sunday. I watched The Steel Town Murders. I binge watched it and it was really, really good.
Oh, but The Railway Children was on TV yesterday. That's a lovely film.
No, thank you.
Really?
I read that book when I was really young and it took me forever to get through and I did not enjoy it.
Still a good film.
No, if it's not trashy TV or like crime stuff, I'm not interested.
Where are we? September 2001, Sharon Stone is hospitalised following a brain hemorrhage and she took time out to recover, understandably. And she has been quoted as saying that she felt she lost her place in Hollywood after that happened. So in USA Today in 2015, she said, you find yourself at the back of the line in your business, as I did, and you have to figure yourself out all over again. I can imagine that's true. It's very competitive, isn't it?
Yeah, and really hard because you've worked and done so much and been acknowledged for doing so much in that industry. And then all of a sudden a bit of time out and you feel like you're right to the back again. Sort of flavour of the month, isn't it? With anything where you see certain actors who will just constantly be in films for a few years and then disappear a bit. But yeah.
Yeah. And you never hear of them again. Now she did return to films in 2003, but again, critics, just not very complimentary. So she was in Catwoman, which some critics have called the worst film of all time.
Who are these critics? They're awful. By the way, I feel like, I really hope Sharon Stone never listens to this. She'll be like, why are they just reading out all my worst reviews ever? Oh, why are they doing this? Aren't they supposed to be praising my good work?
Yes. Well, yes, we are. And her work around HIV is very commendable. But I don't think, well, what we're looking at is whether that affected her paid work.
Yeah.
As an actress. So I feel we do have to bring all of this to light to give a balanced view.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, by now she's probably livid. No luxury gifts from her to us.
No watches for us.
And then she does a few more films, some of which, I mean, I'm not going to say I've heard of any of them. I'm not a fan of films, but her career gets back on track. So for us, the big question is, did her career derail because of her charity work, or was it because the critics weren't keen on some of her films?
And that's a good question.
I have to say, I don't think it was because of her work around HIV. So she worked with ANFA for a long time. Mm. One of the events that she attended raised £25.8 million in one night.
What did, what, how?
I don't know, but now I feel I might need to check that source. We're quite cagey about sources this week, because £25 million is a lot.
That's absolutely bonkers.
Hold on. Let's see where I got it from.
That's an amazing figure.
Well, because at the time I thought, wow, that's a lot. Now I'm thinking that's a phenomenal amount.
Yeah, that's an absolutely just crazy amount.
How could you raise that much in one night? Oh, well, I'll give you my sources from the Evening Standard. After a six-year absence from the Amphar Cannes Gala, that's how I always think it's said, because that's how I used to say it in Friends, Stain returned to host it last July. Her last previous appearance was in 2014, when she helped the organisation raise £28.5 million in one night.
Wow. Surely that's some kind of record. I wonder, like, how much is the most has been raised for, like, a charitable, like, event or organisation in one night. That's got to be up there.
It really must have got. It's just a huge, oh, what would we do if we had £25 million?
What wouldn't we do? That's the question, Sarah. That's the easier one to answer. We'd buy loads of watches, we'd bribe everyone.
Wouldn't need to bribe everyone. People would have to bribe us. It's almost too much money, isn't it? I mean, how could you spend? I mean, I'd have a good go at spending it. Shopping centre, gold.
Stunning.
Gold-plated everything.
Oh.
But do you know what? With that amount of money, you could help everybody in the UK that's living with HIV in some way, couldn't you?
Yeah, I was going to say in a small way, because that is quite a big thing to say. But yes. Yeah, it'd be amazing. But yes. Okay, so our figure is correct.
Our figure is most definitely correct. Moving on. In 2020, Stain also received the Legacy Award from the Elizabeth Taylor AIDS Foundation for 22 years service to HIV awareness raising. So previous recipients, Michael Jackson.
Yeesh. I have views on Michael Jackson.
Do you?
I was in WH Smith yesterday, right? And they're playing Man in the Mirror. Let's not lie. It's a great song. Who doesn't love it? Loads of Michael Jackson songs are great, right? But I really don't understand why we are still playing Michael Jackson's music everywhere. Like, it's just fine. I just don't. Personally, controversial, I know. I'm probably going to have people come at me. I just don't get it. We don't play like Gary Glitter and stuff. So why are we playing Michael Jackson? I just think it's super inappropriate. Were you excited for that rant that you did not know was coming?
Yes. Yes, I was.
Yeah.
I don't feel as strongly as you on that, but...
But did you watch the doc? Pretty sure I've pissed loads of people off now. Let's move on.
But it's not 167 countries anymore.
Yeah, I bet it's not.
Other recipients, Elton John. I'm going to go through these quickly so we can have no more opinions. Whoopi Goldberg and Eileen Getty. Getty family. Big.
Oh, yeah. Getty Images. Lancers. Yeah.
Yeah. The Hollywood Reporter at the time said, like Taylor, Stain's name has become synonymous with the fight to end HIV. And then they go on to credit her with lots of high energy performances at dozens of galas over the years as a live auctioneer and vocal advocate. Okay, so she's the one holding the whole gala together, isn't she, and getting everyone to stamp up the cash.
Yeah,
she's amazing. Now, there's one more thing that I should mention. Is we're jumping around a bit because we've gone back to 2013. Okay. So Sharon Stone received the Peace Summit Award for her work for people with HIV. So every year during the World Summit of Nobel Peace Laureates, I know we're both aiming for one of those.
What did you call it?
The Nobel Peace Laureate.
Isn't it the Nobel? Like the Nobel Prize?
All right, cut all that out. We'll start again. Don't you leave that in, or I swear to God, you're doing it on your own from now on. Every year during the World Summit of Nobel Peace... Did I not say Nobel? Or
you said Nobel.
Nobel Peace. Every year during the World Summit of Nobel Peace Laureates, the Nobel Laureates honour with the Peace Summit Award men or women of peace chosen from personalities from the world of culture and entertainment who have stood up for human rights and have spread the principles of peace and solidarity. Before 2006, it was known as the Man of Peace Award, but we'll brush over that because they changed it quite late in the day, in my opinion, but no, it's fine.
Yeah.
And the reason I wanted to draw particular attention to this award, because rightly she definitely deserved to be honoured with it, is that some really unusual people listed on it. So we've got people like Bob Geldof, of course, and Annie Lennox and Bono, Sean Penn, then Sharon Stone. And then the last two I could find, Richard Branson. Weird, Richard Branson and Ricky Martin. Ricky Martin, I can understand. He's done a lot around LGBT rights. Click on the link, it goes through to a page that's in Spanish, so we couldn't find more about him. When you click on Richard Branson's link, it says page not found. So I was like, what has Richard Branson done that promotes peace? And when has he stood up for human rights, peace and solidarity around the world?
Did you find anything?
No, nothing.
How? Oh, if anyone knows, please let us know. Has he donated money to somewhere?
Maybe I've just completely missed the point.
Oh, I'm going to look into this, Sarah. I'm going to find the answer.
Are you going to do it now while we're recording?
No.
So there we are. We can't deny that Sharon Stone is a huge supporter of those living with HIV. Following in Elizabeth Taylor's footsteps isn't easy. She did it really well. She raised lots of money. She raised lots of awareness. But whether it affected her career to the extent that she had no work offers, I think that is very much open to debate.
I would agree. I don't think you could definitively say it was that. I think perhaps a multitude of different factors went into that. But let's not worry about that. Let's just be like, well done, Sharon Stone. Like I had, as I said at the start, absolutely no idea that she was even linked to HIV in any way. So for her not only to be linked, but have done so, so much good work, have like 25 years at old Amphar, that's amazing.
Some episodes come together really nicely and we're both on fire. They're few and far between. And then you get episodes like this where we take a Hollywood actress who does an awful lot of community and doubt some of the things that she said in the press and inadvertently end up just kind of dissing her whole career. You're welcome, Sharon Stone. Look forward to my luxury watch.
Oh, dear. I really hope she didn't listen. But I also think it's important that we've highlighted the fact that she does so much for HIV. So if she has, I hope she appreciates that we are very much celebrating all her work.
You know, when we had the big discussion and we couldn't decide what episode to do, this was not the one.
This wasn't the one, was it? I think no. I knew it wasn't the one when you said that she was in Fatal Attraction. I think that was the point where I was like, oh, no.
Oh, dear. Yeah, you're right.
Never mind. I think you've done an amazing job and I'm pleased that you did choose Sharon Stone.
Who? I don't think it's come across quite as I intended, but, you know, there's always room for improvement.
Okay, amazing. I don't think we should discuss what we're going to do next week, mainly because we've got no idea.
No, we haven't.
But that's fine. That's okay. You know, maybe the whole of the Printers' Choir will be listening by then. Maybe my mother will have recruited more people on board so they can look forward to another total shambles of a podcast.
I mean, if this is their first week listening, welcome. It's not always like this. Sometimes we actually do get it together and we sound quite knowledgeable. This doesn't happen often.
Well, it's early. It's a Monday morning and I do have a little bit of a headache.
I don't have a headache.
Say that you do. It was all after tying a big knot in that tote bag behind you.
And also finding out that one of our regular delivery people, not that regular if my husband's listening, is actually not called Gary, as I've been calling him for the past year. His name's Derek.
How did you find out?
Because he asked me this morning why I kept calling him Gary.
No. Oh my God, the shame. What did you say?
Is that your name? No, my name's actually Derek.
Oh, now you're going to have to overly use his name to really show, hey, Derek, how you doing, Derek?
Thanks, maybe Derek. I'll use the CCTV wire for that next week. So sorry, Derek.
Please put I'm sorry, Derek, on your CCTV wire. And also, plus, I'm sorry, Sharon Stone. Can be the apology board next week.
Thanks for listening to the HIV podcast. If you enjoyed our podcast, please like, rate and subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.
You can now also follow us on Instagram and TikTok @ the HIV podcast for behind the scenes insights and videos.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.